Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about how today Congress is coming back from a break and they're going to be voting soon, this week, on defunding Planned Parenthood. We have yet another video, undercover video from Center for Medical Progress, and it's bad. I mean, they're talking about selling babies' brains. This is definitely parental guidance. You don't want to miss it. Join us now. Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few is Steve Kolaszewski. And I want to stay right from the beginning of this program. This is a parental guidance, parental suggestion. Please, if you have any small children, this would probably be a good time to have them exit the room, because we're going to be talking about some really important and graphic things in terms of new video that's just released by the Center for Medical Progress regarding Planned Parenthood and the selling of babies' brains. This is going to be graphic testimony from an ex-procurement technician. I believe her name is Holly, and she begins to testify, give her testimony about the things that she saw, about what she did with her own hands, and why she is no longer in this field. You know, this is definitely a September to remember. Strap on your seatbelt and put on your rollerblades, because it's going to be interesting. But right now, today, in fact, Congress is coming back from an eight-week break, and they have very important issues to be addressing, two of which that they'll potentially be voting on even this week has to do with, one, the defunding of Planned Parenthood, and also about voting about this Iran nuclear deal. And so as the church, it's time for us just to be alert, of course, as we've been saying often on VFN TV, and to be prayerful. Remember that prayer is the most important and the most powerful tool that we have as believers. God can do anything, but we must be awakened first to the reality of what is happening. And so here, there are several options that they can take in terms of defunding Planned Parenthood. However, it's concerning that the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, stated that it's too late, like we're going to have to wait. In fact, I want to make sure that I say this for you, but basically he's saying that it's time to wait for another president, that this is not going to be the right opportunity, since there potentially doesn't seem to be enough votes. And what I want to say is that it's never, you know, the time is now. It's never late to end the shedding of innocent blood. And so this is the time for us to be able to be alert, like I said, and be prayerful, because God can do anything. Listen, God can give every congressman, every congresswoman, every senator a dream. He can speak to them while they sleep, and they will be compelled to do the right thing. We want to show you this video, this portion of a Center for Medical Progress video, undercover, as they begin to record and share testimony from Holly O'Donnell, I believe, a former procurement technician for STEM Express, as she begins to share her testimony. It is graphic. Again, this is parental guidance suggested, because you're going to see a baby. And listen, we have to see the reality of what is happening every single day. With 50-plus million abortions have been done since 1973, when Roe versus Wade made it legal in this country to commit abortion. Remember, legal but not moral. Just because someone, there's a law, you know, there's a ruling that says something is legal, doesn't necessarily mean that it's right before the eyes of God. And in this case, it's never right to shed innocent blood. I want you to watch this as you just hear this testimony, so you can be awakened to the reality of what is happening every single day. The time to defund Planned Parenthood is now. Watch this.
For example, so I had eight cases yesterday, and I knew exactly what we needed, and I kind of looked at the list, and I said, all right, this 17-weeker has 8 grams, and this. So I knew which were the cases that were probably more likely to yield what we needed, and I made my decisions according to that, too. So it's worth having a huddle at the beginning of the day, and that's what I do.
I never did, but I think I witnessed some of the other technicians work with the doctors. I remember I was on my day off and I went on my laptop and popped up and they were working, and I saw a message saying that the doctor had aborted a fully intact fetus. Fully intact. And SemExpress was sending it straight to the lab.
I literally have had women come in and they'll go in the OR and they're back out in 3 minutes. And I'm going, what's going on? Oh, yeah, the fetus was already in the vaginal canal whenever we put her on syrups, it just fell out.
Yeah, and so if we alter our process,
mm-hmm.
and we are able to obtain intact fetal cadavers, then we can make it part of the budget that any dissections are this, and splitting the specimens into different shipments is mm-hmm. this. I mean, it's all just a matter of line items.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they want both hemispheres intact with the brainstem, which usually doesn't happen. They'll take like an 80% intact or 70% intact, and you have to contact them and see if that would be okay.
Kind of rate-limiting step of the procedure is calvarium. The head is basically the biggest part. Most of the other stuff can come out intact.
Right.
It's very rare to have people that have enough dilation to evacuate all the other
to bring them function, to bring the body cavity out,
exactly.
Intact, all that.
And with the calvarium, in general, some people will actually try to change the presentation so that it's not a vertex. Because when it's a vertex presentation, you never have enough dilation in the beginning of the case unless you have a real huge amount of dilation to deliver an intact calvarium. So if you do it starting from the breech presentation, there's dilation that happens as the case goes on, and often the last you can evacuate an intact calvarium.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are certainly steps that can be taken.
So they can convert to breech, for example,
exactly.
At the start of the...
Exactly. Under ultrasound guidance, they can just change the presentation.
Okay.
I was training with Jessica and the Alameda, and I've been doing it for a few weeks, so I kind of knew what I was doing, but kind of not. And I was really busy, and one of the doctors came in, and she looked really frustrated. And the medical assistants were with her, and I don't know, it was my deal to listen and see what's going on. And the doctor just says, if she can't calm down, I can't do the abortion. Like, and I can't medicate her. Something like that. And she was just distraught.
The other thing that plays a tremendous part in this all is the dilation.
Exactly.
That you've obtained.
Exactly.
And also how cooperative the patient is during the procedure.
Finally, the woman, she calmed down, and the doctor went in to perform the abortion. Takes a little while, and I'm in the hallway. I see the jar come out. Goes into the path lab. Yeah, Jessica, I can hear, is preparing it. Rinsing out the jar, rinsing out the linen wrapping that catches it, dumping it in the strainer, rinsing it off, putting water in the pie dish, and getting it ready for the doctor. So then I hear her call my name. Hey, Ollie, come over here. I want you to see something kind of cool. This is kind of neat. So I'm over here, and this is the moment I see it. I'm just flabbergasted. This is the most gestated fetus and closest thing to a baby I've seen. And she's like, okay, I want to show you something. So she has one of her instruments and she just taps the heart and it starts beating. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this fetus and its heart is beating. And I don't know what to think.
Is there still circulation in the heart once you isolate it?
So, there are times after the procedure is done that the heart actually is still beating.
They induce fetal demise at about 20 weeks, 18 to 20 weeks, and so they inject digoxin into the fetus.
Right, right. I was actually going to ask about it because I want to make sure there's no digoxin on myself.
No.
Providers who use digoxin use it for one of two reasons. There is a group of people who just use it so that they have no risk of violating the Federal Abortion Act. If you induce the demise before you do the procedure, nobody's going to say you did a live, whatever the federal government calls it, partial birth abortion.
Whenever you're talking about fully intact fetuses in the context of fetal tissue procurement, Those are situations where no feticide, like digoxin or potassium chloride, no chemical like that can be used to kill the fetus beforehand because that poisons the organs and the tissues.
Yeah.
And so in that case, it's prima facie evidence of born alive infant cases.
It's like, you know why that's happening? And I knew why it was happening. It's because the electrical current was, the nodes were still firing. And I don't know if that constitutes it's technically dead or it's alive. It had a face. It wasn't completely torn up. And its nose was very pronounced. It had eyelids. And its mouth was pronounced. And then, since the fetus was so intact, she said, okay, well, this is a really good fetus, and it looks like we can procure a lot from it. We're going to procure a brain. So, the moment I hear something, that means we're going to have to cut the head open. So, it's like, okay, so what you do is you go through the face. I'm thinking, no, I don't want to do this. And she takes the scissors and she makes a small incision right here and goes, I would say, to maybe a little bit through the mouth. And she's like, okay, can you go the rest of the way? And I'm like, yes. And I didn't want to do this. So she gave me the scissors and told me that I have to cut down the middle of the face. And I can't even, like, describe, like, what that feels like. And I remember picking it up and finishing going through the rest of the face. And Jessica picking up the brain and putting it in the container with the media and parafilming it. And she left and she's like, okay, you can clean it up. And I'm just sitting there and like, what did I just do? And that was the moment I knew I couldn't work for the company anymore. And it was even if it's gonna be good, if that could have been the cure for some kind of disease, then I wish, even if it was, I wish I still wouldn't have done it. I didn't want to be that person. And I remember picking, it was a male, I remember picking him up with the gloves, because it was too heavy. The pie dish was this, and he was big, like, the pie dish, and I couldn't, like, take it and put it in the strainer and put it in, like, I couldn't, it was just too big. And I opened the biohazard container, and it's almost full. Like, it's almost full. I'm holding him in my hands, and I'm like, oh my god, this is just, what am I doing? And I take him, I put him in, and I remember he got stuck on the lid. And it turned around, and his buttocks was in the air, and his 2 feet were, like, dangling out. And I remember having to pick each one of his feet up and put him in the container and close the lid. And that was the hardest experience I've had. I remember holding that fetus in my hands when everybody else was busy and started crying and opened the lid and put it back in. It's just really hard knowing that you're the only person who's ever going to hold that baby. It's weird because I always think of all these scenarios that could happen. Like, I held it, I'm like, man, this could have grown up to be... And I always think about things like that. Like, if this could be a lawyer, this could be a firefighter, this could be the next president. Like, I wonder what... Because you can tell the sex sometimes. Like, I wonder if this, like, what it would like. Like, I can't imagine, like... I wonder at age 3 if, you know, she would like to color. Or things like that, you know? I wonder what it would look like, her mom or her dad, or... things like that, I feel like it's a waste of life. Like, and it's sad that so many people view it as a mistake. You know, because it's not. I mean, life isn't a mistake. I mean, getting pregnant can be an accident, but it's not a mistake.
Wow. You just heard testimony from Holly O'Donnell, a former STEM Express procurement technician, describe in vivid, horrific details how she assisted in an abortion and the things that she did and that she now regrets. Listen, with all of this evidence, with all of these videos that we've seen, if we can't defund Planned Parenthood now, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And we need to pray for our nation. We need to get a heart of compassion. And we need to be sober-minded and have a reality, a glimpse of reality of what has happened for the last 40-plus years. Because we are very good at ignoring the truth. We're very good at covering bodies. We're very good at putting things that we don't like, that bring us discomfort, that bring us shame, that bring us guilt. We're really good at doing that. We're really good at things that we don't want to see, pushing them aside. But listen, we have to look at this. This is a reality, and this is what God sees. And we have to have a heart of compassion and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. We want to give you an opportunity. We're going to pray at the end of this program. We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to begin to talk more about what we just saw, what we experienced. And you're going to hear testimony from a former abortion doctor who performed over 1,200 abortions. And he is testifying before Congress, demonstrating with tools what he did and the violent procedures that he had to take in order to abort. It means murder a child. Wow, we have so much to discuss in such really little time. But this is Holly O'Donnell testifying, giving personal testimony of what she did. You hear a lot of words like fetus. By the way, the Bible never uses the word fetus. It's a baby.
Human life.
Yeah, it's a human life. It's baby. And to abort means to stop, to kill. I mean, that means something is living, and it's not something. It's a baby. It's a baby. And they're talking about a calvarium. A calvarium, as you saw in the video, is, and you might have missed it, but it's a head. It's a brain. And one of the doctors was talking about that about 80% of them come intact. And what they're trying to do is procure means to buy, to obtain. They're buying these body parts allegedly for research. They're using them for all sorts of things to prolong life, Steve. And it's just amazing. And she goes on to say that the doctor can use ultrasound guidance in order to try to salvage. I mean, they're literally aborting babies, as it appears in this video, in such a way to salvage the baby, not for life, but so that they can use the organs of the baby and ship them out. And just to listen, because I don't think that many people really, I think we've tried to ignore, we've tried not to look at the ugly reality, but today's technology with ultrasounds, 3D, that you can see the actual baby before, you know, they actually, you know, are born. You can see the details of their face. Now with these videos, more people are having the opportunity to see and to know. That's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
At 20 weeks, I think we have an image for you. I want you to see what a baby looks like at 20 weeks. It's a 1093. And, I mean, this is, look. I mean, a head, an eyes, fingers, a thumb. This is from the baby center. And anyone can Google this now. I remember when we had our little one, my youngest daughter, that we were able to look online and with every week, Steve, my wife and I, Teresa, we were able to pray as we can see how the baby was developing day by day, week by week, month by month. And at 20 weeks, you have a baby that's pretty developed. Mm-hmm. Definitely has a heartbeat, has fingers, has eyes, has a brain, because they're after it. I mean, they want the brain.
Mm-hmm. Which highlights that it's just simply not tissue.
Right.
It's a human life.
It's a human life. And so I've heard people say, and you can be all over, you know, it's just truth. You know, I've heard people say that, well, you know, the woman has a right to her body. And, well, maybe she does have a right to her body. But the baby is not her body. The baby is inside of her body. It's not her body. It's inside of her body. And we just got to be honest. Out of comfort and convenience. I mean, this is one of the things that God tells us in Leviticus 18. Don't sacrifice babies to Moloch. Mm-hmm. Don't sacrifice babies. It's one thing that God does not like. He hates. And that's the shedding of innocent blood. He hates it. Proverbs 6. He hates it. And so over the years, that blood still cries out. When you're talking about 50 plus million, I mean, now we've actually lost track because there's been so many since 1973. And she gives one testimony of a woman, Steve, you remember this, where she discusses how the abortion doctor tells the technician, hey, listen, unless this woman comes down, I cannot do this abortion. Well, yeah, I think she's a little disturbed. She's about to end and terminate and kill a baby that's living inside of her. I would say she should probably be a little bit upset.
The fact that you can be calm in that moment is disturbing.
Right.
That a doctor would expect to someone say, you need to calm down.
Yeah. During the break, you told me about something that about the stress afterwards, about the journal.
Yeah. Yeah, in one of the past videos that Holly was sharing in kind of this same conversation that Holly O'Donnell was having, she had said that they send the girls that have an abortion to the recovery room, and in the recovery room that there's journals. And she goes on to say that if an abortion was not so detrimental, I can't exactly remember the specific word that she uses, but if it wasn't so difficult, there wouldn't be so much emotional damage. They wouldn't be putting journals for women to say, you know, go through the emotional process.
Yeah. You know, I recently just saw a video, I believe it was on YouTube, where a young lady begins to share her testimony, you know, her story, really, about how she regretted having an abortion. She was 21 years old. The young man that she, you know, had sex with and became pregnant. He was in the military, and then he wound up leaving, and so he was urging her to have the abortion. Friends, family were encouraging her to do the same, and she reluctantly agreed and thought, well, you know, this is what I have to do. I'm young. I have no job. I can't afford this baby. And so she had the abortion. And here she is years later, and now I believe she has three children, and she says, to this day, I regret having an abortion. I shouldn't have done it. I don't know why I did it. And another day doesn't go by that she doesn't, you know, remember what she's done. And the thing is that, you know, if you do have an abortion, you're potentially going to have other children later in your life. And so according to what this woman's testimony is, her story, she says you're not going to forget that. I mean, God can forgive you of anything you've done, and he can pull away all the guilt and all the shame, but you won't forget it from your memory. And so when we get back from this break, I want you to see and hear for yourself what this procedure is like from a professional, someone who has done it, a former abortionist, as he testifies before Congress and says why abortions after 20 weeks must be banned. More when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors, I want you to go there and just... You see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service,
And I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel. I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I had a legal question for you. I'm a supervisor in a small office, and recently I had a new associate join my team who's very much into neo-paganism, and she displays books about witches and inverted pentagrams around her desk. And I was wondering if she has just as much protection as I do, you know, if I have Christian material around my desk, is she legally protected to keep those on her desk, or can I ask her to remove those?
Nope, she has got the same rights of religious freedom and the free exercise of religion that you do, and that's the way that works. So this should encourage the Christian employee to continue to maintain an appropriate witness there at work without being disruptive to the work environment. But that's the way to handle a situation like that, not to censor all religions, but to allow an equal, what we would call a basically an equal access policy.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Wow. So it's time to take a closer look. And it's, you know, as you can see, these videos, Center for Medical Progress, they've been releasing them. Mm-hmm. And they're awakening people's conscience. They're awakening to the fact that this is happening and that they can't close their eyes anymore. I mean, we have to look at that. And we have to come to the grim reality of what we're looking at. And the Susan B. Anthony is an organization that I just recently come across who has listed about 12 reasons why Planned Parenthood should be defunded. I'm just going to list a few of them for you. We're going to make sure that's related for you on the torch. But Congress right now, Steve, is going to be gathering, and there's several options, one of which they want to attach it to a spending bill that could potentially shut down the government. I mean, this is that serious. And my question is, if we can't defund Planned Parenthood now with mm-hmm. this type of evidence, alleged evidence, but you're seeing it, then when could we? And the truth is, the other side of this is that we cannot expect from our Congress and our Senate for them to make any decisions that we're not supporting them in. I mean, they're representative government. And so if us as believers and as Christians, if we're not broken, if we're not praying, mm-hmm. how can we expect Congress, members of the Senate, to be able to take a bold stand and say, no, we're going to defund, we're not going to, you know, we're going to defund the Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. Listen, it starts with us. We know God's word. We know his truth. And it's time for us to pray. It's time for us to seek God. And it's time for us to appeal to heaven, because it's the only answer. It's repentance. It's saying, God, we've sinned. We've sinned. Forgive us for our sins. Mm-hmm. That's what confession is. Confession is agreeing with God. Yes, this is wrong. This is wrong. We're sorry. We're broken. We're remorseful. And we're going to repent. We're going to turn away from this wicked behavior, God. Forgive us. Cry out for mercy. And we need mercy in our land. I want you to see this video. I want you to see this doctor, Dr. Anthony Levitino, as he testifies before Congress and begins to share with them what an abortion looks like from a doctor's perspective and the instruments that he himself used to perform over 1,200 abortions. And he says it has to stop. Watch this.
Good morning, Chairman Franks and distinguished members of the subcommittee. Thank you for inviting me. My name is Anthony Levitino. I'm a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist. I have served in both academic and clinical settings. Currently, I practice in Las Cruces, New Mexico. I've been an obstetrician-gynecologist for 33 years, and the early part of my career, I performed over 1,200 abortions, over 100 of them in the second trimester, up to 24 weeks of gestation. Imagine, if you can, that you're an obstetrician-gynecologist and a pro-choice obstetrician-gynecologist like I was, and your patient today is 17 years old. She's 24 weeks pregnant from last period. Her uterus is 2 finger breasts above her umbilicus. She's been feeling her baby kick for over a month. She's asleep on an operating room table, and you're there to help her with her problem. The first thing you do is withdraw the laminaria that was placed in the cervix. The dilation of the cervix that's required for a D&E abortion at that level takes at least 36 hours. Later abortions can, dilation of the cervix can necessitate almost 3 days of preparation prior to performance of the procedure. First thing you're going to reach is for a suction catheter. This is a 14 French suction catheter. It's about 9-10 inches long. It's about 3/4 of an inch in diameter. And picture yourself, if you can, placing this through the cervix and instructing your circulating nurse to turn on the suction machine. What you'll see is pale yellow fluid running through this into the suction bottles of the machine. That was the amniotic fluid that was there to protect the baby. If this was a first trimester abortion, when her child would be that size or smaller, you could essentially do the entire abortion with this one instrument. A 24-week baby that we're describing here from last period is the length of your hand and a half again, from head to rump, not counting the legs. Babies that size don't fit through catheters this size. When you're done, reach for a Sofer clamp. This is one that I brought along so you could see what we're talking about. It's about 13 inches long. It's stainless steel. The business end on this clamp is about half inch wide and about 2.5 inches long. And there are rows of sharp teeth on this instrument. It's a grasping instrument. And when it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. A second trimester abortion at that stage is a blind procedure. You can't really see anything. Everything has to be done by feel. Picture yourself, if you can, reaching in with this instrument and grasping blindly anything you can, and pull hard. And when it finally pops free, out comes a leg that big, which you put down on the table next to you. And reach in with this again, and grasp, and pull hard. Out comes an arm about the same length, which you put down on the table next to you. And reach in with this instrument again and again, and tear out the spine, the intestines, heart and lungs. Head of the baby about that age is maybe the size of a large plum. Again, the procedure is blind. You reach in, being careful not to perforate the uterus, and you have a pretty good idea you have it if you have your clamp around something and your arms, your fingers are spread about as far as they will go. You know you did it right if you crush down on the clamp and white material runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you can pull out skull pieces. You had a day like I had a lot of days, sometimes a face comes back and stares back at you. Congratulations. You just successfully performed a second trimester D&E abortion. You just affirmed her right to choose. These procedures are brutal by their nature. In later abortions, when you are preparing that cervix even more extended periods of time, you can have situations where you will get into preterm labor or even precipitous deliveries of these children. The Gosnell situation is a situation that has, I think, brought to the public's attention what we're talking about when we're talking about this level of abortion. It was mentioned earlier that the idea that abortion is needed for to save women's lives is one that must be under consideration. As a faculty member at the Albany Medical College, I have treated hundreds of women with severe problems with their pregnancies, pregnancies that were life-threatening to them, cardiac disease, diabetes, cancers, toxemia, elevated blood pressure in pregnancy. I'll illustrate with one case that I dealt with personally. A patient came in at 27 weeks of gestation, blood pressure 220 over 140. You know, a normal blood pressure is 120 over 80. This woman is moments or hours away from a stroke. We stabilized her, delivered her. She had a healthy baby in the end, and she did well as well. But I was able to stabilize and deliver her within an hour, because that was required when you have an emergency of that magnitude. Abortion would be worthless in that situation. As I told you, at 27 weeks of gestation, it would have taken at least 3 days to even prepare her to be able to go through the procedure. And this is an important point when we talk about abortion in terms of saving women's lives. I appreciate your attention. I guess I'll just end. Chairman Franks quoted President Obama earlier. I'm going to quote him one more time. He said recently, if there is just one thing that we could do that would save just one child, don't we have an obligation to try? Thank you.
Wow. You heard this testimony. This is a violent, violent procedure. Think about this child, this baby in the womb, that's limbs are being ripped to shreds. We've heard enough, and it's time for us to get a biblical perspective. I mean, everyone talks about everyone else's perspective, but let's talk about what God's perspective. He's the one that we're all going to have to account for. There are a lot of things in our life that, as humans, we think that we could justify, that we think that we can file in a basket or put in the back of our brain, as if we're never going to face reality. But there's coming a day that we're all going to account, all of us, for every word that we have uttered out of our mouths, for every action. And we're going to stand before a holy God. Mm-hmm. That puts the fear of God in my own life, because I needed Jesus before I met him. I need the cross, and I needed God after I met. I still needed the blood after I gave my life to him. And so that's important, and I still need him. Some act as if they've became perfect after they've met him, but that's certainly not my experience. I need God every step of the way. And Proverbs 6 talks about how God hates, 6 things that he hates, one of which are hands that shed innocent blood. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about God's perspective, what he says in his word, and where do we go from here when we get right back from this break.
We may have some reckoning with God to do in the month of September. The Bible says there's 4 sins that God does not take lightly, and the earth convulses every time we practice these sins. God pays close attention to idolatry. We are unbridled and unashamed and unafraid to put before this nation idols. They wouldn't put a picture of a cross up there, but they'll put a picture of a demon god up there, and we're flaunting it right under God's nose, and we're facing a Semitic year, and unless we repent, I'm afraid judgment's at the door. The second sin that affects the land is homosexuality, fornication, immorality, and lesbianism. God said, do not defile yourselves in any of these ways. This is the Bible. You can either reject it or you can fear it. I fear it. Desecration usually takes place before judgment comes. The third sin is the shedding of innocent blood, which includes abortion and other things. In 1973, the Supreme Court legalized abortion, and since then, over 57 million children have been aborted. Blood has a language all of its own. And when they take a baby and massacre that baby and flush it down the commode, that blood goes into the rivers, and that blood still has a voice, and God hears it. 57 million babies have been aborted, and the cup of God's wrath is filling up. The fourth sin is the sin of breaking covenant. There's a direct correlation in how God treats people who bless Israel or those who curse Israel. God has blessed America all through these years because all of our presidents have been friends of Israel, and they have stood by our most faithful ally in the Middle East. So our current president, President Obama, has categorically pulled away from Israel and threatened to abandon her as future votes come up to the UN concerning Israel. This is a deliberate and a blatant covenant-breaking piece of legislation that may determine our future as a nation into a future that we don't want to think about. don't think God can't get to the place that his wrath will not wait any longer. America's soul is hanging in the balance, and it possibly could be that these are the final waning hours of America. It could be that September is going to bring about such swift change and such swift judgment. I'm saying possibly that these could be the final hours. To Iraq, to Iran, President Obama, to whoever will listen, you're not through with Jesus Christ. You're going to see him before too very long. You better make sure you're on the right side when you see him.
Welcome back. Wow, we're talking about God's perspective. We've talked many times, we hear everyone else's perspective, Steve, regarding abortion, but very few times we ever pay attention, the world at large, to God's perspective. And we, before we went to break, we talked about Proverbs 6, how God hates the shedding of innocent blood, and it's going to be accounted for. We don't live in a vacuum. We don't live as if we do things that are not going to be accounted for, that are not going to be examined later. But we're all going to stand before a holy God, and we're all going to be accountable for the things we've done in this life, for the things we've done in this body, for the decisions we've made, and for the decisions that we have not made. And that's the thing about us as believers, and even those right now in Congress and the Senate, you're going to be held accountable. You're going to be held accountable for the vote that you made or the vote that you did not make on defunding Planned Parenthood, on stopping abortion, and even on this Iran deal. You're going to be held accountable. There's going to be a record, and you want to be on the right side of truth. You want to be on the right side of making these decisions because they have significant and eternal consequences. I think about Leviticus 18:21. God says, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. These are clear instructions. The fact that God hasn't judged us in such a way that has been completely devastating is nothing but the sheer mercy of God. The sheer mercy of God. Genesis 4:10, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen. He's talking to Cain. Listen. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Cain killed his brother Abel. That's where this comes from. Genesis 4:10. God tells him, listen, because your brother's blood is crying out. Blood has a voice. And God is not, his ears are not too dull that he can't hear, and his arm is not too short that he can't reach out to us. And so the question is, where do we go from here? Where do we go now that we've been awakened, now that we have seen firsthand? Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to confess it as sin. Maybe you're watching today, or you know a loved one that has had an abortion, and you've been awakened now. And maybe that's something you've tucked behind, you know, in the back of the recess of your mind, but now with all of these videos, now with this hitting the news cycle almost every day, those thoughts have come back. That guilt has come back. The enemy has just poured out shame to you. Listen, God loves you. And he wants to forgive you. He desires to forgive you. And he can forgive you. But you have to give your life to him. You need to confess it as sin. You have to confess it as murder. And allow Jesus. God, Jesus already paid the price for your forgiveness. You need to come under the blood of Jesus. God wants to forgive you, but you got to confess it. The other thing is that maybe you're living with remorse and guilt, and maybe you've already confessed this to the Lord, but the enemy's just lied to you and just filled you with so much shame. The Bible is clear. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is of the enemy. Conviction is of God. And God doesn't want you to be condemned. If he's forgiven you, and then you walk in his forgiveness. Listen, the Bible is clear. All of us have sinned. Mm-hmm. All of us have come short of the glory of God. And we all need God's forgiveness. God loves you. Maybe you've worked in a clinic. Maybe you've worked in a place where you have assisted quote-unquote doctors in murder and abortion. And your conscience has been awakened and you feel the conviction of God. I have done wrong, just like Holly. I've done wrong. I believe that young girl was convicted in mm-hmm. there. She said, I was doing it. I was cutting the baby's face. And I said, this is wrong. This is wrong. I knew I could never work for this company again. Listen, you can stop. You can get another job. And you can ask God to forgive you. Listen, it's time for us right now as believers to cry out to God. This is a very important season in which we're living in. This is a very important time. And what can you do? Listen, besides calling your congressman, besides calling your state senator and telling them, listen, defund Planned Parenthood right now. They are your elected representative. Besides doing that, you can get into your prayer room. You can get to your quiet time with God. And you can devote time to prayer. You can devote time to pray that God, who holds the heart of the king in his hand, that he can direct it like a water course, whichever way he wishes, and that he would end abortion, that he would move upon the hearts of the congressmen, of the senators, of the people in America, of the church, to say, no, enough is enough. God, forgive us. We want to pray with you right now. Let's join together and pray. Lord, we just thank you that your mercies are new every morning, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're faithful. And Lord, we join together collectively on the Gulf Coast, Lord, and we repent for the shedding of innocent blood. We repent, God, for our hearts having been callous and ignoring and hiding the reality of murder that's going on every single day. Forgive us for not being moved with compassion and brokenness to say, I must do something in my generation to end the shedding of innocent blood. Lord, we ask you to intervene. We ask you to move upon Congress. We ask you to move upon the president. Lord, speak to them in a dream. Show them the 50 million babies that have been murdered. God, we ask you, end abortion and send revival in Jesus' name.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.